Last night,
why was Jason so mean to 16-year-old girls that last night? This isn't even like a politically correct take or anything.
I don't know.
I feel like you know, like James Harden.
Why did he say he
packed it in like a 16-year-old girl?
I think Jason, our previous caller, said that Harden has the mentality of a 16-year-old girl.
If anything, like I think of a 16-year-old girl.
They're
like
mature.
If you're gonna talk about a 16-year-old girl, if your perception of 16-year-old girls is that they're gonna let something go. Or they're just gonna they're not gonna necessarily always bring the passion. Like, what 16-year-old girls were you around? Were you like part of some pharmaceutical study where they drugged 16-year-old girls like into somnolence for years?
By the way,
sixteen-year-old girls, they always just don't give a damn about all that much and just kind of they just cruise along from day to day without caring about anything. Come on, man.
We have a really.
If anything, that's a compliment to tell. He was engaged. Like a 16-year-old girl. He got after it like a 16-year-old girl.
We have a really cool Dynamo craft beer experience we will give away right before headlines coming up at like 7:29 and 30 seconds or so. We'll have plenty of headlines about this win last night, about Deshaun Watson and his return to the football field, and also a big Astros win last night as well. Listen, I think that we're probably not all that far apart. I think we all have some similar doubts when it comes to James Harden because he doesn't necessarily strike you as the kind of player or leader that, let's say, you know, LeBron James is, or even, you know, like Chris Paul is at certain times. You know, he's not Hakeem Olajuwon, obviously. But when it comes to last night's game, as you mentioned, Seth, this is not the morning to be critical of James Harden. And I fully agree with Landry that people underestimate the amount of energy that is expended when you go on a tear like he did in the second quarter. It's a very simple statement. James Harden had more points last night than anybody else on this basketball team, and he carried them in the second quarter. If he did not show up in the way that he performed in the second quarter, this team would be down 3-1, and the series would be over. That is a factual statement that nobody can argue. Now, there are other parts. If Chris Paul didn't play like he played last night, they'd also be down 3-1. But the first thing was the first thing. It came before the second thing. James Harden put his team in a position to win that game last night. Now, moving forward, like let's say that's game 7 last night, then I think the standard could be, hey, even though Harden had that wonderful second quarter, he's got to do a little bit more in the second half to find a way to win this series. I can totally agree with that. But the way that game went, I mean, they built this team. Daryl Morey built this team to win games like this in that exact fashion. Yeah. One of the major basketball components of training for Chris Paul was that they saw how Harden wore down in the playoffs last year. It wasn't just choking or checking out. Like, a lot of that is the old phrase, fatigue makes cowards of all of us, right? And when James Harden wasn't performing well in the playoffs last year, they had no place to go. Now, and we've seen this multiple times in the playoffs, but never more so than last night in the second half, they have Chris Paul to go to.
I think this, too, and I'll credit the players for doing some things that I didn't necessarily anticipate them being able to do. I'll credit Mike D'Antoni, and it also Jeff Pizdelic, the defensive coordinator, for a lot of things.
Good night for him.
What we've seen out of both these teams throughout the playoffs is that, hey, much was written about, hey, the Rockets are going to switch everything because that's how you combat the multiple screens of the Warriors, and that's what you're going to do. Or the Rockets are going to play all kinds of ISO, and this is how the Warriors are going to respond to it. I think both teams and both coaches have really jabbed and parried a lot and very well. And the Rockets last night, two things happened defensively last night that led this to a sub-100 game, was the Warriors played very, very good pick-and-roll defense. Draymond Green, as much as I'll bust on him for his embarrassing moments in the game, was just directing traffic like a champ, took Capella largely out of the game, as he has been doing, as well as Kayvon Looney, too. Like, I'll give them credit for that. But then the Rockets have gotten this feel for, okay, you can't switch everything all the time. And when the
Warriors, you don't want to,
right? No, especially when the Warriors start running fake screens,
yep.
When the Warriors start slipping screens, the Warriors are doing things to combat the fact that you're going to switch all the time. Sometimes you just got to stick with your guy. And I think what we saw last night was the Rockets starting to get a bead on what the Warriors are trying to do for them offensively. And it's going to change again. But I felt more encouraged about that than perhaps anything else at all. I love seeing the defensive effort out of James Harden. I love seeing Clint Capella doing his best out at the perimeter and hawking guys. Like, his block of Klay Thompson was one of the most exciting moments of the evening. And it ends up being a clean causing of an injury as well. So those things are all really, really good. But I feel like mentally they played a better defensive game than I really thought they were capable of doing. I didn't expect them to be able to adjust to the adjustments of the way they did.
I don't know if this is the case, but I'm guessing the Warriors scoring 12 in the fourth quarter last night was probably the lowest scoring output through four games of either of these teams through four games of the Western Conference Finals. Let's go to our good friend Biscuit on Mad Radio. Hopefully more rationality from our second call this morning. Biscuit, good morning. Go ahead.
Call it, man. And this is the essence of the problem, man. People are expecting Harden to beat Jesus on the floor, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the dude, like you said, man, when the game was on the line, forget the fourth quarter, they were about to get run out the gym. When the game was on the line, he led the charge back up the hill. And that's all you can ask from your star. When the game was on the line, he didn't defer. A lot of times he'd be deferring and dribble. No, he was aggressive and he attacked. And that's what you've got to look forward to. And if they can play with some grit like they did last night, that's how you beat the Warriors. You have to beat them with grit. It can't be skill. You have to beat them with grit, pushing, holding. You know, you withstand some runs they make, then you come back at them. And that's how you beat the Warriors. And I didn't think the Rockets could beat the Warriors in seven. But now, they got a shot. That's all you can ask.
No, and I think you're right. And I think P.J. Tucker is the answer to all of that. It's like, all right, P.J. Tucker is your guy that is in some ways the heart and soul of your team when they've played well this year. He's all about grit and toughness and determination, boards, all of that. I think if there's one thing that bothered me about Jason, who called a couple segments ago, it's that I feel like Biscuit just said, people expect Harden to be Jesus or something. And yes, if anything, Jason called up with an argument about why Harden shouldn't be MVP, which is, you know what? Fine. You want to have that debate? Fine. But don't sit here and act like to win a championship in any given year, whether you have to beat the Warriors or somebody else, that you have to have Michael Jordan on your squad or that you have to have LeBron James on your squad. That and the Golden State Warriors are the perfect example of it. You know, if Steph Curry had to drag a team by himself through the playoffs without another couple of really good players beside him like he did several years ago before Kevin Durant got there, he's not capable of doing that. Does that all of a sudden make him not a championship caliber player? It's about the team. Like, I don't understand at what point it stopped being about the team. Unless you've got LeBron James on your team.
Yes.
It's always about the team. The Golden State Warriors are the best team. Those guys, nobody was in contention for the MVP on the Golden State Warriors this
Correct.
Year. Does anybody give a damn in the Bay Area? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Hey, James, if James Harden doesn't get the MVP this year, but they win the championship, would I be okay with that? I feel like I might be, okay? So, Jason, you know what? I'll even concede your damn point. Fine. James Harden shouldn't be the MVP. I don't care. I don't care. You think you're scoring points by saying that James Harden shouldn't
Preach.
Be the MVP? They just tied the playoff series. That's all that matters. You're upset that James Harden isn't as good as Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Fine. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Do I have to point out the numerous championships that have been won by non-LeBron James or non-Michael Jordan's players? Fine. You won the debate. You won the debate. Michael Jordan's better than James Harden. I'm finally willing to relinquish that. He's not as good as Michael Jordan. Okay, there you go. You win. You win.
A quick change.
Now let me get back to enjoying this victory.
The Dynamo giveaway will happen at 7:35. So 4 minutes from now. Headlines on a Wednesday right now.